Accession number 30651, Mr. Bill Ralston, Rail 4. Now, why did you leave the battery factory? Was it just too hard? I mean,
it was summertime. The temperature was unbearable. There was no air conditioning. It was just a bakehouse. And I walked out at 11 o'clock.
Got it was just too much for you?
Yeah. And I went to another factory, to a wolf, a timber wolf, called Hollis Brothers. They made imported timber, unloaded barges. They machined timber, like to make it in fancy patterns and carvings on it and all that. I've done that for a little while.
So, machining timber?
Yeah. And then someone said, oh, if you...
Now, what was that job like? Was it as well paid?
No, not as well paid as Hollis, Silvers is. And then I had another job. I got a job at Tate and Lyle's.
Now, what was that one? That was where you stayed there a while, didn't you?
Yeah, I stayed at Lyle's for quite some time. I was unloading lorries, like what we're fetching in. Paper boxes, like all flattened down, and that.
So that's a sugar factory.
Yeah. And well, no, that was a syrup factory. There was Lyle's that made the syrup. Tate's made the sugar.
And you were a labourer. You're unloading.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was that? How old were you then? Still 47, 60?
No,
48.
About 48. Yeah.
And what was that like at Tate and Lyle?
It was good. Rationing had been on. Now, you could go into the canteen and get a cup of tea, and now sugar, no one like sugar at home. It was only use a little bit of that because there's none up for tomorrow. But you'd get a cup of tea and put six sugars in. I don't know how we ever drank it. And I knew my wife, she worked there where they made the tins. And
And that's where you met her.
Right? Yeah. Well, someone said to me, that Iris wants to meet you outside. And they said to her that I wanted to meet her outside. And then they all started bogging me mates, like, you know, they set us up. And when I've gone outside, and I said to her, I don't know what to say, like, you know, so I was a bit stumped. I said, you want to go on pictures with me? She said, luckily, she said, yeah, I don't mind. And we've known one another now for 55 years. And never looked back, sort of thing. Like, you know, we got on well, met her family. When she went to take me to meet her family, like, I walked round the block about four times, I wouldn't go in. I said, no, I'm not coming in. It was on a Sunday night, and she lived in a very close-knit family where all the family, even the married ones, all had to be at tea, like, you know, on Sunday night, and they had shrimps and winkles and jelly and what have you, like, you know. It was a nice family. I've got on well with all of them, like, you know.
So you met her how old were you when you met her?
16.
So just 1950, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
1949, yeah.
And then I left Tate and Lyle's. Someone said to me, oh, they're building a big power station at Canning Town. I said, it's good money there, right? So anyhow, I've got a job there. I went and applied for a job, and that was boiler covering with asbestos. No one didn't know nothing about it. And when I've told...
So you were what, a boiler coverer? Or?
Yeah, well, a boiler coverer's labourer, more or less, and an improver. Like, you'd done the labouring, and then after you picked up a little bit, and there was no trade, and there was a big tank made out of galvanised sheet, near half the size, or a third of the size of this room, and you should tip all the asbestos in and stick hose pipe in, and then roll your trousers up, take your socks and shoes up, and get in and mix it up. And when I've told doctors today, like, you know, they just couldn't believe that this was going on. But the money, that was good. No, they didn't know it was a bad disease at that stage. And I stayed there till, right, till I had to register in, what was it? I think it was about 1951.
So you were there a couple of years.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about registration for National Service. You must have known it was coming. Everyone then knew.
Yeah, I've still got the form upstairs if you want to want it.
Is there, what was the process of being called up? How did it start?
You had to go to local Labour Exchange if you were born within a certain period of time, and had to give them your date of birth, your address and one thing and another. And then a little while later, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks later, you got a letter down to go to Wanstead Flats to have a medical and for a check-up. Well, I had a friend who, we were born the same time, and all these schools were I'd gone through, like, you know, he'd gone through the same. And we both registered the same day. And I said to him, I want to go in the Marines. So he said, do you? So he said, yeah. He said, we're both going to the Marines, because I'd seen his brother, who was a Marine. He was at the War Office, and he was had this lovely blue uniform with white cap, peak cap, and he was a chauffeur at the War Office. I said, I want to do that. So he said, all right, we both put down. Anyhow, he got a medical and a test or something, what you had to do for the Marines, and I never. And I kept saying, I hope you don't pass. he never passed medically. And
now, what was a medical like for you? I mean, what do you remember at once and first?
Yeah.
How strict?
Quite strict. I thought it was a good medical, because when I was boiler covering, we'd finished working at the power station. We were going out to different companies. They all had their boilers and that. And it was always a boiler, and everything you ate, you toasted. Like, if you took cheese sandwich to work, you'd toast it in the boiler. But I didn't know, and I'd had all these tests, and they called me in. They said, we're a bit concerned with you when we test your urine. So I said, oh, why is that? So he said, it's affected. So I said, why? What do you mean? He said, got a question to ask you. He said, do you ever eat toast? I could have said yes, but I wanted to be in the army. So I said, yeah, I eat a lot of toast. So he said, oh, well, that's what's affecting your water, like your urine. So I got passed the medical, like A1.
Any other tests or education tests? No. It's called them psychometric tests now.
Yeah, we did have a test. Like, I think they were putting bits and pieces together, like, you know, bicycle pumps and things like that. That was one I can remember doing. It was all the bits here, and they said, put a bike pump together, like. Anyhow, they said to me, you'll be going in the army. I said, oh, I don't want to go in the army. I want to go in the Marines. So they said, no, you ain't got no chance. You've got no family. Your father was in the forces, because I'd put this in the army, like, put this on a form what I had to fill in. And my mate come out. He said, I failed the medical. I'm going in the army. So I said, that's good. I'm glad, because I didn't want you to have that white hat and a blue uniform and me Carl Key one, and the two of us then, we both joined up on the Thursday the 7th of June 1951.
Where did you have to go?
To Oswestry.
Now that's Royal Artillery, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, why Royal Artillery? They just put you in there.
They just put me in there, yeah.
And which camp was it at Oswestry? Did it have a name, or was it just a...
Yeah, I can't remember the name.
Do you know which training regiment you were with?
67 rings a bell. 67 and 64.
Now, which was first?
I don't know. The first one was only for 2 weeks.
So now that was the one at Oswestry, was it?
Yeah, and then the other one was only just across the road from it, like, you know, I think it was a 64th, I'm sure it was.
That's the second one?
Yeah, it was the second one.
Now, the 67, what happened when you got to Oswestry? Well, you know when you arrive, you're going out there and you're a civilian, and then when you get to the camp, you're not. Quite soon after you walk through the gate. But how did they manage that procedure? You know, I mean, how did they treat you? Because it's not always straightforward.
Very stern. Said they'll make men of you. You're a bloody shambles here, coming here, like, you know, but we're going to make a man of you in a couple of weeks. And they took us into a billet, and we stayed there, and I thought if we had a cup of tea and something to eat, or a biscuit or something. And then they whipped us round, and someone was saying, oh, 7 and 8 flight, what size shoes you take? And they just throwing them, and we didn't know what we were getting, whether we were shortchanged or what, and it's all in a kit bag. And it was terrible stuff, like the boots were like wood.
Do you remember what kit you got? I mean, you know, I know you didn't know at the time, but do you know what you got?
Yeah.
Because it's all changed, obviously, now. You know?
We got a red PT vest and a white one. I think the white one was more or less like a Fred Perry shirt. Yeah, I'm sure it had a collar. Blue shorts. We got grey socks. I don't know. I think it's probably 3 pairs of socks. Pair of boots, brown gym shoes, overcoat, and then all the webbing equipment and that, cap comforter, like the scarf thing or what you could make into a hat, berry, with a badge. Can't remember much else. I know we got all the webbing equipment, 2 ammunition pouches, there was a small pack, big pack. And a couple of straps go over your shoulders. That was about it, I think.
And now, when did you get your hair cut? I presume, I mean, you might have had short hair anyway with your dad, but I mean, what about the haircut? Do you remember that?
Yeah, my dad said to me, when you go to the barbers, he said, give him a shilling and say, give me a trim. And he said, and that they cut it a bit shorter. So, but, you know, my cut is a short. So I was saying it to you, and I missed out with a group of them. I don't know why, the first lot, but I'm going to win, and I'll sit the bloke, yeah, mate, here's a drink. Give us a decent trim. And he went, yeah, and cut it right up. And
he was using a razor. You're making a gesture of the old razor.
Yeah, fancy. Yeah.
Well, they weren't using scissors.
I think it was done in about 30 seconds, right? And I wasn't worried about it.
Did you mind?
Well, we all looked the same.
How short was it? I mean, you know, because, I mean, you've got it very short now. I mean, the number one or number two, they used to call it.
Yeah.
Was it?
No, it was. Wasn't as short as it is now, I suppose, but it was short, like, because kids had long hairs then, had a Boston haircut and all that nonsense, and I used to have a crew cut, like, so it didn't make a lot of difference.
Now, what was your first billet, your hut like? I presume, was it huts or was it
barracks? Yeah, Spider, that was called a
Spider. Now, what were those huts like? Can you remember? Because, you know, they're quite famous, but there's not that many of them left.
It was a wooden building. It had, I think it was about 4 bits coming off, and there was a central part there.
Was that where the ablutions were?
Yeah, the ablutions were. And it was, everything was chase.
How were the beds laid out and everything?
An iron bed with an ammunition box at the bottom, at the foot of the bed. You had, the mattress was biscuits, they called them. Excuse me. I think it was 3. and they had to be piled one on top of the other, and then you used to have to put a blanket sheet, I think it was, and then it was all wrapped up in a further blanket, and it all had to be squared off. And a guy I picked up with on the train, he was in the same billet as me. He'd been in, done a, quite a long while in the Army Cadets, and he knew all about this bedding lark. So when they were showing, like, we're all a bit overawed, like, am I going to remember it? And he wasn't a bit concerned, sort of thing. And when they told us to do it, he'd done it as quickly as anything. He said to me, I'll show you how to do it, like, and he helped me. And once I had him show me, I grasped it a lot.
Do you have to lay your kit out in a certain way as well?
Yeah, all that to be out. And then that wasn't so much then, it was more or less get everything out of sight, but had to be done properly. Then they whipped us away to the tailor, and they marked your uniform, and the sleeves were a bit shorter, but I don't think they did. They just give you the next size down. They'd done all that. And then it was chased from pillar to post.
Now, what was a typical day like with 67th, the first mob? How would your training day start? I mean, I know you're only there 2 weeks, but...
How would you start? It'd be... Reveille would be about 6 o'clock, I think it was. And a guy would be coming in, and he'd be banging on these tins, like, you know, these ammunition boxes, and making a hell of a noise. And it was just chase. And it was a lot of... They were exams more than anything. You're always putting things together. I think they were more or less sorting out. You were going to be in the artillery, but the artillery had so many trades, they were sorting you out for a trade.
So they're aptitude tests?
Yeah.
Now, what do you remember of them? What sort of tests?
It was mostly putting gadgets together, like, you know, this fits here and that don't fit there, like, then they would have, like, a I don't know what you call it, like a pattern, like a big jigsaw puzzle. And they have you doing that. Then you might do a written test or something like that. Didn't have no problems with none of that, like, you know.
What did you think of army food? The meals you'd get. How did it compare to what you were used to, you know, at home?
A lot different. Like, you could say to mum, like, I don't like that. And, don't give me that, mum. I don't like eating that. And perhaps you might get it put on your plate. That was just plonked on, like, you know, and it was plonked on, like, you know. It was ATS girls, like, you know, they were the cooks and all that, and they were running the cookhouse. And there was an ATS sergeant there, and she was like Irma Grease, like, you know, the Gestapo woman. She reminded you just like that of her. We used to have to march.
Hang on, was the food bad then, or was it just...
Poorly cooked, I would suppose.
So the ingredients were all right, but it was... Was there enough of it for a growing lad?
No. I wouldn't have thought so. Like, I'm quite a big eater. I would think the portions were a bit small. One thing that you'd never get high cholesterol there, I don't think, with the amount of butter they give you. One little bit like that, and the butter used to be in a bowl of water, and they dish you one little square, and you just get two slices of bread, like, you know, that would be your lot. Mug of tea. And
now, were you doing any drill?
Yes.
How did you take to drill? You'd done a bit. I mean, you'd done drill in the army.
Yeah, I found it okay. Marching and rifle drill, like, they would give you all in the square, and they showed you what to do, like, you know, and I thought that they explained it quite well, but then they weren't too much worried. I don't think they weren't thinking of at that stage that they were getting soldiers who were going to be changing the guard, sort of thing. They knew they just wanted you to get you from point A to B, like,
so a simple drill.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had no trouble because you weren't the ping, you know.
Yeah.
Did you see the pointer drill at the time when you were 18, 19?
Yeah, I thought it was for discipline. And I mean, you need to have discipline, like, to be in a war situation, although I thought I would never be in one. And then...
So, Drew, what about PT? Were you doing some...
Loved it.
What PT were you doing? What kinds of thing were they putting you through?
You know, more or less arm stretches, you know, just getting your body basically fit, like, you know, for what is to come, sort of fashion, like, yeah.
So exercise. What about anything else? Running or?
Yeah, loads of running. Loads of running, and I used to love it. Loved it to bits. And
was it competitive, or was it just you enjoyed doing it?
It was competitive, like, you know. Saw one bloke, I noticed he was always running, and I met him when I went to the next regiment, like, I got picked to play for the regiment, like, for...
Yeah, is that was 64?
60, yeah.
Yeah, we'll come back to... So, what about assault courses, anything like that?
No, not with them, no.
Any other training was 67? You're only there 2 weeks. So
No, not really. It was just basically to get you to march from point A to B. They showed you £25 gun, like, and a...
Just an introduction.
Yeah.
What was your first impression? Because that's going to be important.
I thought myself, oh, it's bloody big, it's heavy, and on earth, I think it was eight of you ever going to move that? It's impossibility, like, you know, we're never going to.
They didn't start teaching you drill, though, they just showed it you.
Yeah. Let us pick the weight of it up, like, you know, dear me, like, you know, this hang on, like, to pick this bloody great thing up.
Now, how are you getting on with the other lads? You know, you're a big gang of new lads, new recruits, different parts of the country. Were they from the same sort of background as yourself, or was everyone different? Or what was
everyone
like?
Was different. Everyone was completely different. We hired a radio. I think we paid sixpence a week. And this boy, like, someone was messing about tuning it in, and this lady, I said, switch all that foreign rubbish off. No, leave it, he's saying, like, you know. And he told us what they were saying. So they said, oh, you can imagine, like, 18-year-olds, what's he know about that? He's making it up, like, he's taking us for a load of plonkers. So anyhow, they switched the BBC news on at 6 o'clock, and all what this guy's telling us was right. It finished up, he was a linguist. And he'd done his 2 weeks, and he got whipped away.
Potential officer.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You could imagine him going on the Berlin Wall or somewhere, like, he could speak fluent Russian, he could speak everything, like, you know.
Now, were there most of your working class lads, or
yeah,
middle class,
yeah,
lads? Was there any bullying? I mean, there isn't usually, but was there any in your group?
No, not in that 2 weeks. Like, they were all, everybody was a little bit overawed, I think. Like, and most of them were trying to absorb things like what they've been shown, because they didn't want the sergeant to make enemies with you, like, you know.
So most of them were pretty friendly.
Yeah, they're friendly crowd of guys.
And what about the instructors? What do you think of them? It's your first time, you've had them before.
Frightened of them. Absolutely terrified of them, because you saw that somebody that they'd picked on, and they made his life hell. Right, you know, and then you thought, I don't want to be picked on with him. I don't want him to know my name, you know, because once they got your name, there was Smith at 8 o'clock in the morning, it'd be Smith at 8 o'clock at night, So that's how it was,
Did they bully, or were they fair in who they picked on? Do you know what I mean?
I think it was a bit of bullying, you know, and they were just possibly the guy who they were bullying needed help more than bullying. I don't suppose you get help now in the forces, really, but they pick on someone, and if you're not up to scratch, they're going to knock it into you. That's the army method.
Did they shout and swear a lot, or a lot to you? I mean, you know, because it's all relative, swearing.
It didn't seem over the top to me, but I would have thought, to a lot of people, and particularly today, it would have been over the top. I don't think they would get away with it today, you know, it's just not on,